God. You see, when you and I, as Christians, make use of the belt of truth, our minds are protected by the Word of God. When we make use of the belt of truth, our hearts are protected by the truth of God's Son, and our will is protected by the truth of God's Holy Spirit. When we make use of the breastplate of righteousness, when we are as righteous in practice as we are in position, then that breastplate can protect our hearts and make us fit for battle. When we make use of the shoes of the gospel of peace, we're enabled to receive the peace of God by faithfully trusting in the good news that God has provided through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, "My peace I give to you." Making use of the shield of faith reminds us that daily faith, walking in daily faith, it's rooted in fact, not feeling. You're not going to feel like you're saved every day. You're not going to feel like you're walking with God every day. But the fact is that when you give your life to Christ, you are walking with God every day. Amen. It don't matter how it is, how it looks. It don't matter of the probabilities. That's a fact. Amen. Also, making use of the helmet of salvation reminds us that if we're going to live like Christians, then we got to start thinking like Christians, right? And when we put on that helmet of salvation, we're protected from a divided mind. We're protected from a deceived mind, but we're also protected from a discouraged mind. When we make use of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we begin to learn that we shouldn't satisfy right God-given desires in wrong ways. We learn through the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that we can avoid committing sins of presumption. That is, sinning willfully, thinking that you can just go confess it later. When we're protected by the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we learn to sidestep temptations to take spiritual shortcuts. So God has provided all this armor for us. We've been talking about it for weeks. But can I tell you that armor is 100% completely worthless if you don't learn how to put it on? It's great armor. But if you don't learn how to put it on, it won't do you a lick of good. So how? How do we make use of the whole armor of God? Well, if we're going to make use of the armor of God, you got to begin realizing that this battle ain't about you. This battle is not about you. It's not about your abilities. It's all about the Lord. Amen. It's all about him. Just before David killed Israel's enemy, Goliath, with a sling and a stone, you remember the story. Do you remember what David said to Goliath? He said, "Then all this assembly will know that the Lord does not save with a sword and spear. This battle is the Lord's." We just got through singing that song, that the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. This is his battle. We are just the instruments through which God wins the battle. All of our armor is totally worthless unless we have the strength in which to fight. Unless we have the strength to fight with. So where does our strength come from? The Lord is our strength. Amen. Do you remember when the Apostle Paul was complaining about the thorns in his side? As he complained, he was looking for some much needed relief. And listen to what he told the Corinthian believers. He said, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me." I was doing battle against these thorns. And then Jesus said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I most gladly will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure," Paul said. "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak," listen to this, "for when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. He will show himself strong even in our weakness. So what do we got to do? We have got to go to the source. To make this armor worth its salt, we've got to go to the source of spiritual energy. We've got to go to the source of spiritual strength. We've got to go to the source of spiritual power. We got to pray and ask God for it every single day. And apply that armor to our lives every single day. I mean, what good is the sword of the Spirit, the Bible, if I have no spiritual strength to use it? Your feet can look real good in the gospel shoes of peace. But if you don't walk the walk, it don't matter what you talk the talk. It's one thing to know that you have a right standing with God, but the real question is, does anybody else know it? I mean, listen, other people ain't going to know that you have a right standing with God if you don't live it. They ain't going to know it if you don't live it, and it takes spiritual strength to live our faith out loud. But we ought to do it. Same thing with the belt of truth. How many of you know that knowing and doing is not the same thing? Knowing and doing is not the same thing. You and I, we know a lot of truth. But do we walk in the truth that we know? That's the key. And more importantly, do you share the truth that you know? Can I tell you that you won't share the good news of Jesus Christ without the strength of the Lord, without the strength of God manifesting itself in your life? I mean, what good is the helmet of salvation if the noggin inside ain't thinking like a believer? It makes no sense. The mind of Christ requires real discipline. And I got to tell you, y'all, I ain't got that kind of discipline. So you know what I got to do? I got to pray. I got to pray for that discipline to think like a Christian, to think like a believer, to have the mind of Christ. I got to pray. See, prayer is where we get the strength to use the whole armor of God. That's where we get the strength to fight back. But if you're like me, so often I try to do everything on my own. I try and do it in my own power, in my own abilities. But why would I do that when I know good and well there is a much better way? Why would I do that? I mean, why wouldn't I pray first, then start my day? Is that a better way? Why would I not pray first, then serve the Lord? Why would I not pray first, then go to sleep? Why would I not pray first, then begin my work day? Why would I not pray first, then preach my sermon? Why would I not pray first, then worship God? Why would I not pray first, then give? Why would I not pray first, then make that life-altering decision? Prayer. Can I tell you that Satan trembles when the weakest saint hits his knees? Trembles when he sees the weakest saint on their knees. See, prayer gives us the energy. Prayer gives us the power. Prayer gives us the ability to fight back. To fight back. And we, that way we're not just wearing worthless armor. Because you can put it on in your own self, but if you ain't prayed it on, it is worthless armor. Now today, we're going to focus on three alls that the Apostle Paul gave as a footnote, a very important footnote to this whole armor of God. And it's found in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul says, after he lists all that armor, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The Apostle Paul begins talking about this spiritual power for the armor by telling us that we need to pray regularly. Now, I don't know why I should have to tell that to a church full of believers, but I do. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Paul says, praying always. There's a difference between praying occasionally and praying always. He says, pray always in all ways. In 1 Thessalonians, he told another church, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean that we sit on our knees praying 24 hours a day. That's impossible. I mean, there's too many things that are required of us. I mean, we've got work to do. We got sleep to do. We got kids to take care of, right? We got other things to do besides just pray. But here's what it does mean. Praying without ceasing means that your heavenly cell phone ought to always be powered up. It should always be powered up and should be the first plan of action, not your last resort. Every day, praying without ceasing. You see, friend, we should never have to begin a prayer with, Lord, I come into your presence. You know why? Because you didn't leave there to begin with. You're always in the presence of God. You're walking in the presence of God. You're always staying in the presence of God. I mean, friends, we should wake up in prayer. Before your feet hit the floor off your bed, you should wake up to prayer, recognizing the one who has given you another day of life, giving you another day. And as we begin to get up, we should bless him with him. We should bless the new day with him, not just rush past him in the busyness of our day, as I so often am guilty of doing. Friends, because we have so much to do, because we have so much to do every day, we must take time for prayer. We must take time for prayer. And can I tell you that traveling time is a great time to pray? Traveling time is a great time to worship the Lord. I mean, you can waste your time listening to country on the radio if you want to. You can take all the time you want listening to Taylor Swift on the radio if you want to. Or listen to rock and roll, like you, if you want to. But friends, you also have another choice. You can pray with God. You can worship God and ask him to fill your armor up so that you can fight every battle that the enemy is waiting to throw at you that day. Which one makes more sense? Taylor Swift? Jesus. It's a pretty easy call, amen? Let's pray. Let's worship while we're traveling. What a better opportunity there is. Friends, can I tell you that throughout your day, you will have countless decisions that will need to be made. Throughout your day, numerous challenges are going to arise. Throughout your day, innumerable temptations are going to come your way. So what I want to encourage you to do, listen to me, church, is walk with God. Walk with God. Share life with God. Not just on Sundays, but every day. Walk and share life with God. Walk with God. Share life with God. Learn to experience God in life. Not just in church. What are you going to do come tomorrow when you're not surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ urging you to keep up the fight? You better depend on God. You better be living life with God, sharing life with God, experiencing life with God, and not doing it just here. It's great here. I love it. But the rubber hits the road come Monday morning. So Paul says, pray regularly. But he also says in that one short verse to pray persistently. Pray always, in all ways, with all perseverance. Y'all, I read the story about a small city called Kona, Croatia. And in Kona, there are only 260 people who live in that town. But in Kona, the biggest church in the whole country of Croatia is in that city. Well, back in the 1600s, the church had been gifted a very, very large, loud bell. And when the city folks got the bell inserted up into the tower above the church, to get the people in the town to come to church, the priest would get up there and he would ring that bell. And he'd keep ringing that bell until people started coming to church. He's still ringing that bell. And don't you think I didn't get some ideas for that? Amen. How about if I just started texting y'all? It's time to come to church. Come on, it's time to come to church. I'm ringing that bell. That's what he did. He rang that bell. But as I read that story about this constant effort that the priest did to get everybody to come to church, it reminded me that we ought to be just like that priest. We ought to be just like him, constantly calling people, constantly inviting people to come and hear what God has to say. Because God can change their life. Now, some Christians, they occasionally pull that bell. But can I tell you that we should not ever stop pulling that bell. Constantly calling people to come and hear what God has to say. Have y'all ever heard of ding-dong ditching? You heard that, some of you old-timers. Who's heard of ding-dong ditching before? Raise your hand. Good, even some of the young people have. Well, for decades, for those of you that don't know, mischievous young people would go and they'd ring somebody's doorbell and they would turn, tuck tail, and run, hide in a bush, and when somebody came to the door, well, they would sit there and laugh at them. I don't know what's so funny about that, but they did it all the time. Now, I want you to learn today, first of all, how not to do it. And I've got a video for you of one of our own who desires to remain anonymous. And she wants to show you how not to ding-dong ditch. Go ahead, brother. Listen carefully.
We were on the golf cart, they were riding us, so we're just kids. Okay. We're gonna knock on y'all's door. It was a ding dong ditch. Huh?
I'm calling police.
Calling the police.
Huh?
Can I help you?
Midnight. My name's Barrett. Can I help you? That's not how you ding dong ditch, just for those of you that don't know. You ring the bell and hightail it. You don't ring the bell and have a full-blown conversation with those that you're doing it to, amen? But why is that so funny? What is the big deal about that? I mean, you know, what would make teenagers come and knock on the door? And what would happen if somebody just didn't answer the door? What would she have done if she just stood there but nobody answered the door? Can I tell you that sometimes I'm guilty of ding-dong ditching? See, sometimes I get on my knees and I ring the bell of heaven, and then after I say what I want to say, I get up and walk away from the throne of grace. Sometimes I'll ring that bell of heaven and then just leave. Sometimes I won't even wait around to see what God might have to say. Sometimes I'll get on my knees and I'll let my petitions made known, not even expecting a real answer. kind of just talking. And what really hit me hard is I thought, what would God do, or what would I do if God stopped answering the door? What would you do if God quit answering the door when you prayed? In Psalm 27, David said, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen you. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But why have I got to wait? What's the big deal? Well, in a word, your timing ain't the same as God's timing. Amen? And it's probably going to require some waiting. Okay? Why would God then delay answering the prayer need or prayer desire of his kids? Why would God delay answering my prayer? Well, I think there's three easy answers. The one is patience. We know that waiting creates faith and that nothing can be done to please God without faith. So patience is an important virtue. But secondly, purity is an important virtue. In the waiting, when God doesn't grant my answer that I know is in his will, then maybe I need to stop and examine my life. What is it in my life that is blocking an answer to my prayer? Psalm 66 says, if I regard iniquity, sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear. It's plain and simple. So the virtue of patience, the virtue of purity, but there's also this issue of promotion. See, sometimes God grants our requests only when we are spiritually mature enough to handle it. If you're not there yet, he's not answering that prayer yet. Amen? So sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says, slow. Take it slow. Sometimes God says, go. And sometimes God says, you need to grow. That may be why God is delaying the answer to your prayer. I mean, if you had a 4-year-old son and your 4-year-old son was begging you for a 12-gauge shotgun, would you give it to him? You might say, someday maybe, but not today. Paul says, pray regularly, pray persistently. But then he says, pray inclusively. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. If you're like me, you pray a lot for yourself. Somebody say amen. And you know, prayer is primarily to get me and you in line with God's will. Prayer is designed to get us in line with God's word. But remember, you're not the only one in this war. You're not the only one in this battle. You may have it real tough, but listen, friend, others may have it even tougher, and they may need your prayers. Samuel said to Israel, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Can I tell you that I pray for you? You pray for me? Did you know that the church of Satan boasts that they fast and pray for Satan to cause the downfall of biblical preachers? And sadly, it happens. Pray that God's will unfold in your life. But pray for me too. And pray for each other. Friends, there are as many needs in this room as there are hairs on heads. Well, most heads. So pray for each other. Pray for each other. And when you do, when you begin to pray for other people, you'll begin to view prayers for yourself in a different light. Pray for each other, but also pray for our church family as a whole. Pray, friend, that we would be all that God wants us to be. Pray that we would do all that God wants us to do. Pray that we would stand for all that Jesus stood for when he stood for grace and forgiveness and goodness on this earth. And pray. Pray that our nation as a whole would return to God. But in so doing, you remember God's promise in that prayer. I shared this in our life group this morning. God said to Solomon, the king of Israel, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer in this place. You praying for your nation? Shame on us if we don't. But know where it begins. It begins with the one you see in the mirror. Friends, there is an African antelope. Got really, really sharp antlers. And it's called a gnu, spelled G-N-U. And when a gnu is approached by a predator, the first thing that it does is it drops to its knees and points those sharp antlers at the predator. Then when the predator gets close enough, the gnu lunges at the predator. But get this. It lunges at the predator from its knees. Y'all feeling me, right? We're Christian soldiers. We have the right armor. God's given us the weapons we need. But the power to use them begins on our knees. The power to defeat your enemy begins on your knees. If you don't pray on the whole armor of God, it ain't nothing but worthless armor. Now, in your bulletins, and I pray that you grabbed one. If you didn't, there's an insert that's entitled Praying on the Whole Armor of God. Does everybody have one? Because Brother Braylon has got a bunch of extra copies for those that may not have gotten one. Praying on the Whole Armor of God. Everybody got one that wants one? Miss Dottie needs one. Who else? Who else needs one? I want you to take this, or I want you to stuff it in your Bibles. But I don't want you to just keep it there. I want you to use it. Because this is kind of like the wrap-up of how to pray on the entire armor of God that we've been talking about for weeks now. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. And you can just kind of keep your eye on this warrior's prayer as we're praying it, okay? Lord, as we face our external enemy, the world, our internal enemy, the flesh, and our dreadful enemy, the devil, help us to remember that we don't fight for victory, but we fight from the victory that Jesus won on Calvary's cross. Amen. Father, we pray, asking you to provide the Holy Spirit power that we need to stand in this evil day and to withstand the temptations of the evil one. Lord, help us make use of the belt of truth so that our minds can be protected by the truth of your word, that our hearts can be protected with the truth of your son, and that our will can be protected by the truth of your spirit. Lord, help us to make use of the breastplate of righteousness so that we are the same in practice as we claim to be in position. And in so doing, our hearts will be protected and we'll be fit for battle. Lord, help us make use of the shoes of the gospel so that we're reminded that through faith in Jesus, we have received the peace of God. We've received peace with God. And we can even be reminded that Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Lord, help us to make use of the shield of faith so that we are reminded daily that faith is rooted in fact, not feeling. And that because Jesus is the source of our faith, it don't have anything to do with probability and has nothing to do with appearances. Lord, help us to make use of the helmet of salvation so that we're protected from a divided mind, a deceived mind, and a discouraged mind, because we know that if we're going to live as Christians, we got to start thinking like Christians. Lord, help us to make use of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, so that we can learn to avoid satisfying right God-given desires only in wrong ways. Lord, so that we can learn to avoid committing sins of presumption, sinning willfully, thinking we can just go and confess it later. Lord, help us to learn through the sword of the Spirit that we can avoid temptation, especially the temptations to take spiritual shortcuts. Lord, our supreme desire is to be like your Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, even in this area of temptation. So, Father, we come asking and seeking and knocking again and again and again and again for the strength to yield to the Holy Spirit of God that you've given us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I believe that if you pray that kind of prayer or one similar to it with all sincerity of heart, kneeling spiritually or physically before the throne of God, I believe he's faithful then to give you the spiritual power you need to armor up and defeat the enemies in our lives. But you know, being born again and going to heaven is a little bit like this armor. In many ways, they're the same. Because being saved can be worthless. Does that make sense? But it can be. Thinking that you're saved can be worthless unless the good news that Jesus Christ suffered and died to provide you forgiveness and to provide you a right standing with God is received, listen to me, church, by asking. In prayer is how we receive what God has provided through Jesus. The Bible says, for there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all, listen to this, who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I guess the question of the day is, have you called upon the name of the Lord to save you from your sin? Do you want to be saved from your sin? You can call upon him today. And you don't have to be in a church to do it, but I can't think of a better place to do it. And furthermore, if you have already called upon the name of the Lord and received that sacrifice for your sins and mine, have you called upon the Lord to give you the spiritual strength you need to fight the battles of life? See, sometimes we get saved and we think it's smooth sailing from there on out. When you get saved, that's when the battle starts. You weren't even in the battle before you got saved. You were no threat to the enemy. You were one of them. But now, you're one of his. Now you're one of his. Have you called upon the name of the Lord to help you make use of the whole armor of God? Can I tell you that he stands ready and willing to respond to you, whatever your need may be today. If you're ready to call upon him to be saved, today's your day. If you've been running ragged and you're weak and you're weary and it's been a big challenge dealing with life and all of its temptations, maybe you just need to get bolstered up with some spiritual strength. And I don't have all that spiritual strength myself. I'm one of you. You're one of me, right? We all have the same challenges. But when we bow before this altar together and petition the Lord God of the universe and beg him, petition him, plead with him and say, Lord, I need strength that I ain't got. That's right. Guess what? He'll give it. He'll give it. So this altar is available for you no matter what your need, no matter what's going on in your life. I pray you take advantage of it today. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, thank you first of all for the whole armor of God, for providing us the protection and the defense and the weapons we need to fight the external enemies, the internal enemies, and our dreadful enemy. Father, we need to be able to pray on that armor. We need your power, your strength. The Lord, this battle is yours. Father, we're fighting it in Jesus' name. And so, Father, I pray that today you're going to do a supernatural work in every single individual in this building right now. Every single individual that is listening to my voice right now. Not because some preacher said it, but because your word declares it, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That we must pray always, in all ways, in all perseverance, in praying for all the saints. Father, this opportunity is a decision time. It's an opportunity for you to speak to each and every one of us. And Father, we'll come together and pray. We'll do whatever's necessary to just speak into the ear of God and ask you to give what only you can give, the spiritual energy, power, and wherewithal to live this life for your glory. Lord, you have your way and your will in this time. We'll give you praise in advance for what you're going to do today during this time, this decision time, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Would you stand with me and let's sing together?